we're happy to have you back because you're back in Malta after a period abroad.
Yeah, exactly. I spent a few months in New York at the end of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going back and forth with Malta and Italy because I was teaching to a business school there. But finally, let's say I'm permanently back.
Okay.
Or at least till the future, like, engagement abroad.
And you had been in Malta for, was it 5 years?
Six now.
6 years in total. Yes. So you lecture here at the University of Malta as part of the Center for the Liberal Arts and Sciences, and you specialize in cultural intelligence mm-hmm. and building bridges.
Yeah, exactly. That's the name we gave to the course, like building bridges, developing skills to work with people from different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what cultural intelligence is about. Maybe people know a lot of like emotional intelligence, but we say if you don't know the cultural differences, if you know that people have different values coming from different places and because of their education, their history, the family values, the school values, you can have probably a hard time to communicate with people, to understand why they behave in a certain way. So the course and, let's say, all my work is really equip people, equip like managers, equip like everyone to be able to work with people from different cultures.
Mm. You're also the founder of an organization called Global Mindset Development. Tell us a bit about that.
Exactly. So, yeah, Global Mindset Development is really my baby because mm-hmm. it's like, is the organization I created to help people to develop a global mindset. So a mindset that is really open, it's curious, and we provide training, we provide consultancy on everything related to what is called intercultural management, intercultural communication, cultural, religious diversity and inclusion. And, you know, there is a lot nowadays on diversity and inclusion. Our focus is specifically on different nationalities, different culture, different ethnicities and different religion.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So, you're back in Malta after, how long were you in New York?
3 months.
And was it your first time in the United States?
No, it was, let's say, my fifth time, my second working there.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, like, I love the city, but, you know, it's like one of the most, like, crowded and probably stressful
yes.
city around the
yes,
world.
Yes.
Everything is extremely like competitive
yes.
and like intense. So I think I was in a different stage now of my life, like having my own company, being an entrepreneur. I really saw, let's say, some cultural differences between our Mediterranean,
uh-huh.
Let's say, work style and the US. And so it was interesting. At the same time, it was really demanding
mm.
in terms of energy and resources.
I mean, even Americans themselves, America's a huge place,
yeah, exactly.
and there's big differences between West Coast and East Coast, the center
Absolutely.
Part of the United States, a different state. I mean, we sometimes forget how, you know, they're the United States, and
exactly.
each state is much bigger than Malta.
Yeah.
You know, each state is as big as a European country.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's like, you know, 50 European countries, like, you know, the size of Belgium or Holland or Germany,
Absolutely.
You know, stuck together under one banner as American, but they have different attitudes. But they all kind of agree that New York is special. Is
yeah, exactly.
don't they? And that is why we have so many movies and TV series and comedies
yeah.
based in New York. Apart
yeah.
from the fact that they have a very big television and movie industry,
yes.
not just in Hollywood, but also in New York.
Yeah.
And of course, there's the stage, Broadway there.
Exactly.
But it's got a lot to offer New York,
yeah, yeah.
as in human stories.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the beauty is also what you say, like you walk around there and you think, oh, I've already seen this, I've already seen that, because everything or
yes,
many things
familiar.
Are already in a movies. At the same time, and I did some, I know you don't like the word narrative, but I did some two experiences that were actually counter narratives or new narratives.
Mm-hmm.
So I visited Chinatown with people from Chinatown.
Ah.
I visited like the Jewish neighborhood with people that they are from like the Hasidic community.
Uh-huh.
I did the African American tour.
Uh-huh.
And in this way, you really also understand all the layers, actually, uh-huh. the city and the complexity of the city itself.
But how did you manage to do all these things? You were working there for an organization as part of your own company, Global Mindset Development.
Yeah.
You were invited to do lectures. What were exactly
yeah.
were you doing
so
there?
The program is very interesting. It's the Erasmus for Young Entrepreneurs Global Program. So
okay. We know Erasmus and Malta.
Exactly.
A lot of Maltese students take
exactly.
part in that. Yes.
But even now, entrepreneurs, young in the sense the company is young, can go to other organizations, like students go to other university. In my case, I was hosted by a more structured and old organization in the US, and they provided e-learning services specialized on entrepreneurial skills. And so I was working for them, like supporting them in developing one module on cultural diversity and many other like research, like market research for the European market. And at the same time, I was working for my company, because now with all the online working, I could really like deliver training online. So as I said, I was probably working like 16 hours per day, more or less, like wake up at 4 a.m. because it was the European time and then work. No, I but then I really wanted to like make the most out of that. Like I knew how much New York could offer. I knew I had kind of a short time. And so I really wanted to like explore and also like build relationships, like meeting people. And it was also a nice way of like coming back to, I started everything kind of there, because in 2007, I did there my first internship. I met my partner. So everything starting from New York. So yeah, it was a nice way.
And yeah, so all these different communities there, including the famous Italian community. But they've moved on from being completely Italian, so they're very Italo-American.
Yes, that's so interesting.
But you still get some traditional Italian food, for example.
I think it's so interesting for an Italian to go to like the Little Italy or the Italo-American community, because they have some traditions, and I think it's the same for the Maltese. They have some tradition that we don't have anymore, but they're so
proud.
They've
kept them up. I think there's a Maltese community in New York, but probably there's a bigger Maltese community in places like where they used to make the cars.
In Detroit.
And yes, I've seen, there was even a documentary movie made a couple of years ago. A Maltese filmmaker went there and interviewed people in a Maltese club, a Maltese social club. And yes, it seemed like they were still living in the 60s or 70s when it comes to remembering Malta in some ways.
Sometimes even the language, so they speak a dialect. And maybe, like, especially in the north of Italy, we don't speak the dialect so much in these days. And so maybe they try to speak it in dialect and we're like, okay. Like, I don't really understand.
So did you see or come across certain conflicts that needed, you know, more cultural intelligence, more building bridges? Did you come across that sort of thing over there that you could talk about and maybe what solutions are being found?
Yeah, I know, like, you know, so my idea was going there was like, you know, after Black Lives Matter and it happened in the US and it's still something very, very pressure and very, very, very important. There was a lot of movement in companies to try to address, especially discrimination, racism. But then it was not only related to like the African Americans or, but it was also, for example, I did the Chinatown tour because there is now Asian hatred after COVID-19. It's like people blaming Chinatown or the Chinese or Asia for COVID-19. And so let's say the Latin conflict is there, but at the same time, there are now many ways and activities try to address these issues inside of company and outside. I think a very good tool that now we have till July 2021, you know, there are the ISO certification, there is like for sustainability or for the environment. Now there is also the first ISO certification on diversity and inclusion. So finally, it's not that we have to invent anything, but there is a certification with a checklist for organization, can be small, medium, large organization, no profit, for profit. And you know that you have some areas where if you want to be inclusive, it's better you consider like these dimensions. And I think is a big help for people like me now working in the field, because it's not up to us, but we have some guidelines also that we can follow.
Yes, that's very interesting. As you said, it's a checklist now, because
exactly,
diversity and inclusion can be quite a cloud, can be quite a sort of vague concept. So it's interesting, it's good. And your other adventures, I mean, outside of work, in America, did you do anything exciting?
I went to Detroit, actually. To visit a friend, and I didn't know anything about Detroit except it was like the automotive city and the Eminem city.
Big history of music coming up.
But there is a big history of music. I went to the Motown Museum, like all the music history. Motown. So that was a very, very nice surprise.
Wonderful. And then you spend some time in Italy again?
Yeah. And I travel also a little bit in Europe, and then I spent some time in Italy. I went back to, like, I was teaching in Torino in this business school. Torino is also a nice city to visit. I know people prefer maybe Rome, Florence, and Naples.
And Milan for the shopping.
But I think Turin has a very interesting story.
I'd like to go to Turin for the, I'm sure there's a Fiat museum.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and being the cinema museum. Fanatic.
Absolutely.
So I'd like to visit one day. So you've had a very active and exciting, I love meeting people who travel around the world, and it's like, you really get, it's no problem for you. You went to America, you spent some time there, you're now back in Italy, now you're back in Malta. You're what we call globetrotters.
Yeah.
I mean, the American word, like for the Harlem Globetrotters, the famous basketball team. But yeah, I mean, I admire people like you, and I'm quite old-fashioned, that kind of need to have a permanent income coming in, because I start to worry. I've spent some time in my life working freelance, and I used to panic chasing money and staying up to date with invoices and whatever. Because at the end of the day, you have to pay bills, you have to, you know, you have to live, you have to eat. But there are people, many people like you around the world. And how do you keep everything organized?
Yeah, exactly. As I said, like, it's not easy, and I think also it's not for everyone, but it's not, let's say, good or bad. Like, for me, is a style that I'm comfortable with, so I'm, let's say, the owner. I can manage my own time, my own... But at the same time, as I told you, like, before we start, it's also a matter of knowing where to put the balance, and I think in the US I realized this very strongly, and I was like, I'm the one responsible about, especially, let's say, my time. How do you want how I want to invest my time, and so my energy, my resources. And so I think I came back more selective also in terms of, like, now the commitment, the people I say yes or no. It's because otherwise you're overwhelmed, and so, and there is, and I'm so passionate about what I'm doing, so it's very also difficult sometimes for me to put some, let's say, limits, because it's my life, it's my mission, it's what I love to do. But then you have to, because you need some balance.
But for anybody listening, maybe young people, even older people, students, whatever, who are listening to this and fancy being, you know, living a life like you, it's very important, apart from, obviously, you're passionate, as you say, about your work, and you're very good at your job and what you do, but you need to be able to prove that. To go to America and say, oh, hello, I'm Dr. Viviana Pizzard, grazie, from Italy. I've been working in Malta. And they say, so? You have to show them international accredited proof that you know, you are who you are, and that you know your job. And you also, I think, need to be very up to date with social media and you know, the internet nowadays to know how to promote yourself, how, I think it's important to be up to date with these sort of things.
Yeah, exactly. I think the key is for sure being curious about everything around you. So I'm constantly update myself on the new trends in terms of, like, theory or content or tools, social media also. But then also, I think, and this is also another great lesson for me, you also need to ask for help. And so at the moment, I also have, like, a team working for me. They started in 2020 as interns. So one now is working for me. And then I'm still hosting interns, because they are young people. They're bringing, like, new energy, new idea. They're very good at social
media. Yes, some of us older people have no idea.
Exactly.
Yes,
so they
important.
Really teach me also how to do it and what's best to do. And so, and when I was in New York, my team was fundamental, because I could really, like, delegate something to them and also be focused on something that was
important.
So
you were in touch with them via Zoom?
Yes,
or,
exactly. Yes, constantly, yes, we do, like, 2-3 times, like, Zoom meeting. And again, not easy. There are people, if I don't see you in the office, you're not working. I have a different idea, and for me it's more that they deliver. But you have still to keep the team connected, and so have Zoom call, WhatsApp, etc.
And LinkedIn is a very important tool nowadays, I think, for business communication and making networking, so that you say, I'm coming to America, I would like to... Or they actually reach out to you and invite you to lecture or to do your thing.
Yeah, I think that's fundamental. What I did is, like, you know, you can search thing on LinkedIn. So I put New York in the banner, and then you can also select your first connection that lives in New York, your second connection, and then I reach out to people that maybe I met like 20 years ago, or 15 years ago, and I was like, you know, I'm back, and I met them, and maybe something new started. So I think there is a lot of potential in social media, and sometimes we don't know really how to use it to their best, but yes.
New York is quite an expensive city, yeah?
It's so expensive, yeah, absolutely. Everything is expensive, and not that everything is expensive. Probably you still, it depending also on the neighborhood. I was living in Queens, for example, that is, so it's not Manhattan, but it's Queens, it's very close, it's a very diverse neighborhood. But still, yeah, renting there is very expensive. If you go out for dinner, it's very expensive. So you have to consider that, yes, that's for sure. A lot of people, they move to New Jersey or they move to Long Island after COVID because it was better for them. There is more nature, but also it's cheaper.
But you saw all these wonderful places that I've never been to the States myself.
No,
but I'd love to. It is one of my best friends lives in Seattle.
Okay.
But I'm thinking, I'm sort of saving up to go for a month.
Yeah,
to the States, and then I spend a couple of weeks in Seattle with my best friend, but then I want to visit Texas. New York is probably worth a visit for a couple of days at least. Obviously, being somebody who's interested in movies and the theater, I need to go to California and Hollywood and all that. So I want to be able to spend a significant amount of time, and that's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a sort of bucket list type trip rather than just go. But then, I mean, there are people like you, or I have a friend who's going to Wyoming later this week for a client that he works in. He's in business like you, and it's amazing how some people just travel and globetrot, and they're going to go to America. Exactly. I'm just going for 4 days, you know, and come back. And it's like, you spend the day traveling there. It doesn't make sense, but it does, because you have to be there physically.
Yeah.
You can't do everything face-to-face, Zoom, I mean, nowadays.
You know, one alternative to the expense, how things are expensive, and I think this is also comes again with curiosity and building bridges and building relationships. Like, if you have friends, you can stay at your friend's place.
Yes.
And I always tell this to my students or the people I meet, when you build your network around the world, then you can really, you go and have kind of your family in all the places that you travel. So
that's
people can host you, or still they can be your local tour guide.
Everybody has a sofa you can sleep on, or a floor even, you know. It's true. And most people are happy to just have somebody over there. Yes, that's absolutely true. You mentioned friends. Did you go to anywhere where that featured in the famous TV comedy Friends?
No, actually. I went to the Ghostbusters place, of course, always.
So that's a famous cultural place. All right, so you're back in Malta now.
Yeah.
And what's on the agenda for you here?
So I will start my train the trainers programs, but it's online. It's like in English, to train people that then they can work for me as a trainers for global mindset development. I will be have some speaking engagement and some conferences over the summer with the iGaming sector and so on. And then probably we'll start again the course, like the building bridging course.
The Liberal Arts and Sciences, Center for Liberal Arts and Sciences here. Yes, so maybe we'll talk again in probably August for the October opening of the short courses. Wonderful stuff. And in general, somebody who works to promote cultural intelligence and building bridges between communities, people, races, communities. How are things in the world at the moment? Better, worse than a few years ago?
I think there is. So a few years ago, organizations were coming to me mainly for ticking the box in a very superficial way. So it's like we did a gender, training on gender, training on disability. Now we do cultural awareness. Now I think after Black Lives Matter and the COVID-19, there is more commitment, also the ISO certification. So I receive less of these, let's say, superficial requests and more companies. They want to go and do something more structured for long term. They want to take care of the employees. And so this require more time or resources. So what I think is sometimes people delegate everything to HR. So it's like, it's an HR thing or it's a social thing. But we need a commitment to the old organization. When you have from the management here, like all the employees committed, you can do something very, very special, and also link to the community outside, because then like companies are just part of the society. So sometimes if they do something good inside, and then they can, again, building bridges with the outside, is just all the community can benefit.
Wonderful. So, Dr. Viviana Prebazzi, it's wonderful to have you back.
Thank you.
Here in Malta and here at the University of Malta. Keep up the good work. We all need a bit more understanding and patience and lack of judgment between us all, whatever our beliefs, our makeup, whatever we look like. And let's all work together for a better world.
Absolutely, yeah.
So thank you very much for coming in, and have a great rest of the spring,
thank you,
you know, Easter holiday coming up.
Yes.
So it's been nice talking to you.
Thank you again.
Welcome back. Bye. Let's go back to some music. Akta muzika unek for Campus FM, what Campus Brunch, or Shahajaman and the Electric Light Orchestra.